Hello and welcome back to the Tricky Notes Podcast. This is your host, Trick, and we are back continuing our Diva Directory on Madonna. We are at part three of this series, picking up in the year of 2003. And we'll see how far we can go as we record, and because we still have, quite a few years to cover, and I've got some bonus stuff to cover after that. So why don't we go ahead and get started? So to start off, I kind of want to talk about where I was around this time as far as Madonna goes. I mentioned before that Madonna is my diva. I am a huge Madonna fan, as you can probably tell if you've listened so far in this series. But at this time, I was kind of disappointed in Madonna. In 2001, we got that Greatest Hits Volume 2 that, of course I bought because I'm a Madonna fan. And then I listened to it a couple times and it's like, these are all single edits. I didn't want these, I didn't want the censored version of Human Nature. I didn't want the soundtrack version of Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. I wanted the radio hit version and it wasn't there. It just was very disappointing and no new songs, and it was just very disappointing. The only good thing that came from GHV2 was some club remixes, which I will talk about at the end of talking about her career. We'll kind of revisit the whole remixes. And then I kind of was a little excited when Die Another Day came out. So I had high hopes for her next album, which is American Life. And I had high hopes. And I tried. I really, really, really tried to like the first song that was released, which was also called American Life. I remember when it came out, I actually got an early download of it, which I burned to CD, and it was one of the first things I ever burned to CD. I actually figured out how to do it just so I could have that and play it in my truck. And I didn't get it. I still don't really get it. I listened to this song over and over and over again, trying to like it. And I know that sounds weird, but when you like an artist and the artist, changes things up and does new things, and in the past you've always kind of been along for the ride, and for the first time you don't feel like you're along for the ride, you feel like something's wrong with you. You feel like, okay, I'm losing something here. There has to be something here. She's never let me down before, other than, American Pie and Greatest Hits Volume 2. So, I kept trying and but I never could really get the song. But of course I bought the album as soon as it came out. And I listened to it over and over again. And I told myself that I liked most of it, but I really was kind of forcing myself to like a lot of it. Now, some of it has aged a little bit better than others, and it definitely is better than a couple albums that came later. But yeah, no, it was a disappointment, and I don't know how else to put it. So anyway, that's kind of where I was. So let's kind of talk about where Madonna was. So, of course, if you're in the U.S., the late 2001 kind of really shook a lot of things. And I've talked about before how, you know, my first episode talked about how, you know, the 9/11 attacks on America and how that impacted Dolly and, you know, the song she wrote on it. But, you know, at the same time, you know, the 9/11 attacks had a huge impact on country music. It really changed. And, you know, you had a lot of saber rattling and a lot of patriotic, for lack of a better word, drivel, you know, and it just seemed to be like all flag waving and jingoism. And, you know, and it's kind of upsetting in a way. But, you know, the 9/11 attacks also impacted other music. And it did hit Madonna too, though she didn't really directly address that. It really made her look at things differently. You know, she had been all spiritual before, and now all of a sudden she's like, you know, very cynical. This is a very cynical record. You know, American Life, you know, I mean, it's between American Life and I'm So Stupid. And it's just the cynicism. It just wasn't very attractive. You know, and that kind of bled into, you know, some of the other stuff. Even kind of the love songs in this album still have a cynicism to them. And I think that really was a detriment to the album as a whole. Because we really weren't used to that from Madonna. And yeah. So, and, you know, and I could go on a lot of it, but I will say, Todd in the Shadows, if you watch his YouTube channel, he actually does a Train Records episode on this album and kind of hits on that. And I'm not going to, you know, kind of rehash a lot of that stuff, but I'm just, you know, I am talking about the music. And this, you know, this definitely was a tough time for American, you know, American Life and Madonna in this record. Now, to me, one of the biggest downfalls of this album is actually her continued reliance on Mirwais, where Mirwais' production on music seemed kind of fresh and kind of new. When it came to American Life, it seemed kind of bland and not very interesting. And that's a, you know, huge difference between those, you know, between the two records. I mean, you know, music hits a lot differently than this one does. And I'm not saying that there's not good songs on this album. And I'm not saying that this album doesn't have, I mean, it's okay. It's good. It was a disappointment coming from Madonna at this point. I mean, she'd had album after album that were just amazing and, you know, and just, you know, great to listen to. And you know, all of her albums up to that point, even on Breathless, you know, had repeat listen value. And this one really fell as far as me and it just didn't hit. I mean, there's some decent songs in this. I mean, Love Profusion, Nothing Fails, and Easy Ride. I really do like those. Ecstatic Process is interesting. That one's an interesting song. And I also liked Intervention. That's a good song. I mean, this album has a lot of good to it. But then sometimes you have a song that seems to be going well, and then something gets added in that really kind of throws it off. And, you know, and it's just disappointing. And one of the biggest examples to me is Hollywood. And Hollywood was the second single from the album, and Madonna tried really, really hard to make it a hit, but it never was. So, the song seems, it's perfectly fine, and all of a sudden it's like it does this whole, flip the station, change the channel, chant, and it ruins the song. I mean, just quite frankly, if that was cut out, the song would be, a lot better. And that happens a few times on this album and in different songs, and honestly, this is the first Madonna album that didn't have a top 10 single. In fact, this album did not have a top 20 single. This album did not have a top 30 single. The biggest single on it was American Life, the first single, and it reached number 37. Now, I'm not counting Die Another Day because that was added to the album after it had already come out the previous year on the Die Another Day soundtrack. It was just added in. So I don't count that as part of the singles from this album release. After American Life, like I said, Madonna tried really hard to make Hollywood a hit. It did never hit the Billboard Hot 100. Then she did Nothing Fails, never hit the Billboard Hot 100. Love Profusion, never hit the Billboard Hot 100. Now, all of them did top the dance charts, but they wasn't because of their original versions. It was because of the dance remixes. This album just did not resonate with the public. And try as Madonna might, she couldn't turn it around. I mean, this is the first time that happened. And I'm going to kind of branch out a little bit from the music and talk about something else that happened that I think really impacted as well how people saw Madonna at this time. Up until this point, Madonna had always been unapologetic. She would do what she wanted to do. She would, she'd really push the way, she'd bust boundaries. She had no fear of being controversial, etc. That's why she had to soften her image for a little bit after the Erotica era, because, some people felt she went too far. I don't think she went too far, but that's another story. So what happened here, first you have to go outside Madonna for a minute and kind of go back to talking about country radio. Okay. So as I talked about, country radio really after 9/11 became like super flag waving and jingoistic and chest pumping and all that. Well, you had a group then known as the Dixie Chicks. The Dixie Chicks, have been successful in country radio. They are now known as the Chicks, just throwing that out there. They've been successful on country radio. And their most recent album had spawned several big hits. And they were currently sitting on top of the chart with a song called Traveling Soldier. When in a concert in the UK, the lead singer, Natalie Maines, made the comment that she was ashamed that George Bush was from Texas. Well, that caused a lot of backlash against the Dixie Chicks, or the Chicks as they are known now. And that song promptly dropped off the charts. They were banned from country radio. and there's, you know, some reasons with record or radio station consolidation and programming, and that's another discussion for another day. But basically, they were basically canceled before canceling was a thing. And some people say canceling is not a really a thing. Well, tell that to the Dixie Chicks, because they were completely erased from country radio altogether, and really have not been able to get back on country radio since. So, sharing that because of what happened with Madonna. Now, Madonna did a video for the first single, American Life. And in the video was very anti-war. And at the end of the video, it shows a look-alike of George Bush lighting a cigar with a bomb. Well, that video was released overseas, but the U.S., you know, MTV, VH1, they didn't want to air it. And for the first time in Madonna's career, she backed down. And she changed the video for the American audience. And instead of having a big elaborate video that she normally would do, it's basically her lip syncing over flags behind her from around the world, just changing as it goes. Madonna, the fearless warrior back down amidst the pressure. And, you know, that, no, it's hard to see, you know, it's hard to know if it would have made a difference if she hadn't backed down. But the fact that she did, that she backed down the way she did, that really hurt her in a lot of eyes. So I know I said I'd focus on the music, but I do believe that that impacted what happened here, but also music going forward. So for American Life, I really don't think it has any essential songs, and it really doesn't have any that I would put on my personal favorites playlist. So that's the end of the American Life discussion. And yeah. So one thing about this era also of American Life during this cycle, Madonna also did a duet with Britney Spears. And it's a song called Me Against the Music. And it, you know, it hit 35 on the charts, which was two spots higher than American Life. But that's a really low, you know, single spot for Britney Spears at the time. And, you know, and it's not really that great a song, to be honest. I don't, you know, I mean, I get what they were trying to do. I mean, Britney Spears, Madonna, they co-wrote it together with a bunch of different co-writers, but yeah, it's not that great. But, you know, I mean, Britney would have better singles after that. Madonna would have better singles after that. But this one just kind of nestled in the middle there. So yeah, just figured I'd mention it. You know, it did top the dance charts, but it didn't do that well Billboard wise. Now, towards the end of 2003, Madonna released her second remix album of her career. And unlike You Can Dance, which covered songs from multiple albums, this one really just focused on remixes from American Life. Now, this remix album only had 7 songs on it. It's a really short album. It's really more of an EP than an EP than a full album, because of the length. And, you know, it has remixes of Nothing Fails, Love Profusion, Nobody Knows Me, American Life. But then it has a couple of extra things. One of which I kind of really like, is called Into the Hollywood Groove. And what it is a mashup of Into the Groove and Hollywood. And the remix of that mashup also features Missy Elliott, which I love Missy Elliott, and most things that she touched, I'm always gonna love. In addition to that, it also featured the audio of the live performance Madonna did at 2003 MTV VMA Awards. Now, though, that particular MTV VMA Awards found Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera basically giving honor to Madonna by covering Like a Virgin. But then Madonna came out, sang Hollywood, and ended up making out with both Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera. So this release is the audio version of that, which that performance also featured Missy Elliott, so that's a good thing. So if you're interested in that, that is on this particular remix EP, remix album. The 7th track on this particular release, though, is kind of why I picked this up, because I really had all the other remixes on different formats. But it is a song called Your Honesty. And it was an unreleased track from the songwriting sessions that Madonna had done for Bedtime Stories. So this is a song that she had co-written with Dallas Austin, who, she had done, Secret with. So it's a good song. I kind of like it. It's nice to have something else from that era, kind of a throwback. So I do like this EP. I actually do like some of these mixes a little bit better. I definitely like the American Life mix better than the original, which is very much more rock driven. And I think it's more in line with how she did it in American Life in concert. So these are good to check out. I wouldn't say it's essential, but it's a good listen. And I would probably put this on more than I do American Life nowadays. Remixed and Revisited is the name of the thing. I can't remember if I said it or not, Remixed and Revisited is worth checking out. So here we are with Madonna now. She has just experienced her first flop, let's just be honest, and kind of is working to kind of regroup. She starts working with Mirwais again, trying to write some new music, and it just wasn't working. After working on some stuff together, it just didn't feel right for Madonna. So she decided that she was going to start fresh with somebody new, and who she turned to ended up being Stuart Price. Now, Stuart Price had been working with Madonna for the past, several years. He'd been the musical director on the 2 previous concert tours. So she was already familiar with him, and she was actually working with him at that time to complete the documentary that she was doing for the tour she did around American Life called, the Reinvention Tour. And they're working on that documentary together and just started kind of working together and writing some music and moving on. Then Madonna ended up really kind of vibing with that, and they kind of hit more on like a kind of merging elements of, you know, 70s disco and 80s electropop and modern club music, you know, and really just getting back to dancing. I don't know how else to say that, but you know, so basically, and the album, you know, ended up sounding like pretty much like a DJ set, and the songs kind of merged together. And the album I'm talking about is Confessions on the Dance Floor. Now, Confessions on the Dance Floor is one of my favorites of Madonna's albums. It is one that I go back to quite a bit. It's a lot of fun. And you know, and it's just a great album, and it really works. And having Madonna just kicking back and just having fun again, really kind of revitalized, you know, her career and what she was doing. You know, I mean, the first single from the album, Madonna even convinced ABBA to let her sample them. And ABBA very, very, very seldomly ever let that happen. But it was Madonna. And she wrote him a personal note and asked, and, you know, sent them a copy of what she was wanting to do. And they let her, and the song ended up being Hung Up, which became another top 10 single for her, and a huge number in the US and a number one single around the world. You know, it's just great. And then after that, you know, you have Sorry, which was a number one hit around the world, even though it didn't do as well in the States. And then you also had Get Together and Jump were singles, and they were big hits around the world. Not as much in the States. So you can sell. But it's just Confessions on the Dance Floor is, you know, one of those albums that for a younger generation, I would see as an entry point, because it's a little bit more contemporary and it's a little bit more accessible, because it, you know, to people, you know, later, you know, just a little bit more accessible to a modern ear than some of her earlier stuff. So, I mean, I would definitely put it in her top five albums. Well, I say that, I guess it's my mood on, depends on my mood on if it'd be top five albums or not. but yeah, this is just a great album. And, you know, and it has essentials, you know, Hung Up and Sorry to me are essential singers. And it has personal favorites like Jump and Like It or Not. You know, so it's really, really a great album. I really enjoy it. Now, like I said, it's mainly, it is plays like a DJ set. So the songs do flow kind of back to back. So that's just kind of one of those things to note about it. But yeah, it's just Confessions on the Dance Floor is definitely a top tier Madonna album. It's a great Madonna album, really kind of a return to form. And I was so happy when I got this album, and it's like, yes, Madonna's given her fans what they want. This is what we wanted. We like Madonna talking about serious subjects. We like her examining stuff, but we also just like her having fun. And this brought back some of the fun. So after Confession on the Dance Floor and being successful and kind of getting back to form for Madonna, she teamed up with Pharrell Williams to record a charity single called Hey You for Live Earth. It's an essential. You can just see it on iTunes. I'm just throwing it out there, because at this point, after doing that, she ended up working with Pharrell Williams on her next album. Now, that next album ended up being Hard Candy. Now, in addition to Pharrell Williams, Madonna also ended up working with Timbaland, Kanye West, and Justin Timberlake. And, you know, and having them as co-producers and co-writers. This was the first time since Bedtime Stories that Madonna had pulled in some celebrity producers to work with. And I feel like part of that has kind of influenced how this album is seen. So, because this album is kind of seen as rather divisive because of its kind of urban pop thing. And they, you know, because of Madonna's age, she's trying to be really young and working with these young people. And, you know, but the thing is, I mean, she just didn't, you know, I've talked about Madonna's production style before. She doesn't just sit back and let other people do stuff. She's in there. She does it. She's, you know, doing stuff alongside, you know, which all the producers that work with her were, you know, really enjoyed that aspect of her being, you know, hands-on and really being a part of everything. And, you know, and, you know, and it shows. I mean, the first single from this album is 4 Minutes, and 4 Minutes was a big hit, featured Justin Timberlake and Timbaland, and was co-written by them and produced by them. And, you know, and it's a good song. I mean, it's, you know, in the rest of the album, you know, you have, you know, Beat Goes On with Kanye West, and you have Give It To Me, which was kind of featured Pharrell Williams, you know, and it's just a really good, solid album. And I really think that this album almost gets a bad rap because it came right after Confessions, and Confessions was so huge and really gave everybody what they wanted in a dance album from Madonna. And then this kind of wasn't a dance album. It was more an urban pop album, not an urban album, an urban pop album. So like a pop album with urban influences. So let's just make sure that's clear. But, you know, it's still a really good album, you know, and I wish it got a little bit more love than it does. I know, you know, 4 Minutes is kind of hasn't aged as well, some of the stuff, especially the more we learn about Justin Timberlake, but that's a whole nother story. But it's a really good album. I mean, there's only one song in this that I'm really not a fan of, and that's Spanish Lesson. I'd probably skip that one most of the time, but the rest of them I really enjoy. And, you know, and it's got some good essential songs on here. I really feel Miles Away is an essential Madonna song. It talks about a relationship, you know, kind of long distance relationship. You know, I really feel that that's kind of essential. You know, I don't think there's really anything else that's super essential on the album, but I do have a lot of personal favorites. I do like 4 Minutes. I do like Incredible. I do like She's Not Me, even though it's kind of silly in spots. But Hard Candy is, you know, it's not a Snickers bar. It's a good, solid Werther's original. It's good, and, you know, you can suck on it for a while, and it's perfectly fine. It's not going to cure any cravings or anything, but it's perfectly fine. So, yeah, that's definitely Hard Candy. So Hard Candy ended up being Madonna's last album with Warner Brothers. And to finish out her contract with Warner Brothers, she released another greatest hits compilation. And this one is called Celebration. Now, Celebration has a pretty good sampling of her hits, but once again, it is missing a lot of them. You know, it had, it contains 34 of her hits, and two new songs in the physical version, three new songs if you got it on a digital platform, and yeah, I mean it's a good compilation, but I had all this stuff except for the new songs, and honestly, you know, I got the singles for the songs, and I really didn't get this immediately, you know, because it's a lot of it was stuff I already had. I mean, you know, some of these had already appeared on multiple compilations already. I mean, Live to Tell at this point was on the Immaculate Collection. It was on Something to Remember. And now it's on Celebration. So that's three different greatest hits compilations that have had Live to Tell from, you know, True Blue. You know, and it's just, there's just quite a few, you know, songs on here. Some of them, you know, they weren't on any other compilations because they were had been released since the last. It's a good compilation if you just want a good sampling of all the Madonna stuff. But I do think there's a lot of essential songs that are missing from this. One that super stands out to me is Human Nature not being on here. And I understand you really couldn't have Human Nature on there without putting on an explicit a parental advisory sticker. And you probably didn't want that on your greatest hits collection when it doesn't apply to anything else. So I get it. But yeah, it's, I really don't put this one on that often. It's a good compilation though, good sampling. But like I said, I just think that there's so many good songs that are missing. And some of the ones that are on here, I don't consider them essential. And let's talk about the new songs. First one is Celebration, which was a co-write with Paul Oakenfold, which Paul Oakenfold's a pretty good dance producer. I do enjoy his stuff. Celebration's a good song, but it's lyrically just kind of blah. And, you know, the other one that is only on the digital version is a song called It's So Cool. That one has a nice dance feel to it. I do enjoy that one. You know, that's a really good one to me. And then we have Revolver. And Revolver, oh boy. I do not like Revolver. And, you know, it features Lil Wayne. I don't think there's any problem with Lil Wayne on it. I just think the song has a really strange conceit. I mean, the song is about, my love is a revolver, my sex is a killer. And I don't really feel the imagery there. I don't really get it. So it's definitely not one of my favorites. So, but Celebration, you know, if you want a quick, easy put together of a bunch of different Madonna songs, you know, it's a good place to go. However, you know, it's missing a lot. Also, for example, Express Yourself, it has the Immaculate Collection remix version, not the original album version. That one kind of, you know, makes me a little sad, to be honest. I wish it would have really had the original on there. But that it is what it is. And like I said, a lot of these, You know, there's a couple on here that this is the third time they're appearing on a Madonna's Greatest Hits compilation. You know, in addition to Live to Tell, you also have Crazy for You. This is the third time it's appeared. You know, so yeah, that's Celebration. It's supposed to be a celebration, but yeah, it feels more like Madonna just wanted out of the Warner Brothers contract. She's not the first artist to feel that way. She won't be the last, obviously. Though they have made up in recent years. But we'll kind of get to that. So after Celebration, Madonna took a few years off of music and focused on directing and other business ventures, so to speak. So, you know, she started a fitness company that didn't really go anywhere. She did a fashion line. And then she directed the movie W.E. So when Madonna finally announced that she was going to be releasing new music, you know, anticipation was kind of high. I mean, you know, this is Madonna we're talking about. She'd had a lot more hits than she had misses at this point. So, you know, we were excited about what we were going to get. And what we ended up getting was Give Me All Your Lovin' as the first single from MDNA. Now, Give Me All Your Lovin' features Nicki Minaj and MIA. Definitely, they give great guest verses on this. But the song is just... it doesn't feel like a lead-off single. And, you know, it's got a silly chant to it. And then she's complaining that all the stuff that... all the records sound the same. You know, it's just really not that great. You know, it's okay. I mean, it hit the top 10. It's to date her last top 10 Billboard single on the top 100. You know, but it's kind of, you know, inessential, and so is MDNA. MDNA. So with American Life, I kind of forced myself to enjoy that album. I know I spoke kind of ill of it, but that's just because it was such a disappointment at the time. But, you know, I did still find good stuff to be had there. This one's tougher. And I know it's a kind of a divorce album. You know, she's had, you know, split up with Guy Ritchie by this point. And, you know, she had started her charity, you know, she had adopted some new kids, you know, from Malawi. And yeah, it just didn't work for me. And while there are some good songs here, they don't really work together. And, you know, this is like some of the songs are better off when they show up on shuffle than they do in this just straight up album. And there's some on here that this probably has one of the higher number of songs that I just don't connect with. I mean, Gang Bang is not great at all. And it's violent, and I'm not a fan of violence in music unless it has a point. And it didn't really have a point. You know, I mean, I like I said, I'm okay with violence if it has a point. And, you know, like revenge fantasy songs, I can get with, you know, I can get with something like Goodbye Earl by the Dixie Chicks, or I can get with something that I've Committed Murder by Macy Gray, or the many, many songs where Dolly kills somebody. But it just doesn't, that gangbang just doesn't work for me. And it's sad. You know, even like the more poppy stuff, you know, Girl Gone Wild is an okay song, but it's not like transcendent, you know, it's just okay. It's kind of a rehash of, you know, stuff she's done before. Same with like Turn Up the Radio. You know, they're both good. They're not top tier. It's almost like she's I almost feel sometimes on this that she's just doing music to put something else out and just to kind of get back, just to throw music at the wall to see if it sticks. Because, you know, that just wasn't where her interests lie. I mean, she was excited to, you know, to direct a movie, you know, and try to do some of the different, you know, projects that she wanted to work on. And yeah, it's just MDNA was the first time I was like, I really felt that Madonna released a bad album. Because even though I wasn't a fan of American Life, I didn't, at the time, I didn't think it was a bad album. It's a blah album, but I didn't think of it as a bad album. MDNA, I feel, is a bad album. And just because it's a bad album doesn't mean it doesn't have good songs. You know, Prince has had bad albums, and every song on the album may be good, but it's just the songs don't work together as a project. Does that make any sense? And I mean, this, like I said, this does have some good stuff. I do like Masterpiece. I think Masterpiece is a great song. I do like Love Spent. I do like those two songs. I do like Girl Gone Wild, not Turn Up the Radio, but like I said, they're not really top tier. You know, and I mean, I probably, you know, and then there was also a deluxe edition that had a second disc with additional songs. And that one probably has one of the worst Madonna songs. I'm just going to flat out say it is the worst Madonna song. It's on the deluxe edition of MDNA. Song called B-Day Song featuring MIA. It is the worst Madonna song, period. End of story. It's even worse than the bonus track on Erotica that Madonna doesn't even do. It's just a rap song with Madonna vocals in the background. The Did You Do It? I hate that song. I hate Birthday B-Day Song even more. But as far as the deluxe edition, you know, Best Friend is a pretty good song. I'm okay with that. But yeah, MDNA. And then let's not even get into the thing with the album, but also the name, to name your album MDNA, which was a pun off MDMA, which is a drug. It just didn't, it just didn't feel right. And you know, and it's like, you know, and like I said, I'm a huge Madonna fan, and it's like I had a really hard time getting with this era of Madonna. And you know, it just like I said, it didn't feel right. I mean, her halftime show she did in this era, that was really good, but that also focused a lot more on her classic music, only having like Give Me All Your Lovin' as the other song on the in the in the show. So anyway, MDNA, that's, like I said, it has a couple songs that I would probably list on personal favorites, but I'm gonna say for sure Love Spent is in my personal favorites on this one. So after MDNA, Madonna toured for a few years with, you know, promoting the album. And then, you know, at the end of the MDNA tour, she started working on new music and started recording sessions that would end up becoming Rebel Heart. Now, I will tell you, Rebel Heart, I love this album. I absolutely love the Rebel Heart album. I will warn you that there are a lot of demos and bootlegs of most of these songs floating around. And that is because Madonna was the victim of a huge hack during the recording and finalization of this album. And, you know, it was an Israeli guy who hacked her stuff and released it. You know, he ended up going to prison over it because the Israeli special forces found him and prosecuted him. But, you know, to me, Rebel Heart is just a fantastic album. And, in, you know, just top to bottom. I mean, the lead single, the first song on the album is Living for Love. And it's one that she did with Diplo was a co-producer on it. And it's just so good. It's just, there's just so much. Oh, I do like it. Okay. Let me take back a little bit. I'm going to back up a little bit. So with Rebel Heart, Madonna worked with a large number of producers again. And, you know, she worked with, like I said, Diplo. She worked with Avicii. She worked with Kanye West again. You know, she just worked with a bunch of different producers. But she was always kind of the one that was driving how things were. So, and I really feel that this album didn't get, because of the hack, didn't really get the love it deserved. Because what ended up happening because of the hack, Madonna ended up not releasing the album altogether. It was released in multiple drops. And the first drop was shortly after the hack. She released the first 6 songs. And then later on released another 3, and then finally released the rest of the album. And it's, you know, gosh, I just love this album. You know, sometimes when you like stuff, it's hard to kind of talk about it. But I think the reason I love Rebel Heart so much is because Madonna isn't coming off a divorce. She's kind of had time to kind of heal with that and kind of get back to herself. You know, I mean, Living for Love, you know, it's a breakup song, but she's, you know, still not giving up, you know? And then, you know, like, you know, Ghost Town, you know, it's just such a good song, you know, and it's still, even though it's kind of still a sad premise, it's more the fact that people can pick themselves up and move on and carry on and do what they need to do. And it's, you know, and like Joan of Arc, just love that song. And it's, I'm not saying this album is perfect. I love the album. It does have a couple songs that are kind of iffy to me. Like Body Shop, I'm not a huge fan of, to be honest. It's good, but it's just kind of silly. Like talking about, you know, comparing herself to a used car. doesn't really sound appealing. but it's, you know, it's cute, It's not classic. It's cute. The other one that's kind of a little iffy for me is Holy Water. I do like some of it. Of course, it took me a while because I always was thinking that she was saying Jesus instead of Yeezus, meaning Kanye West, which made the song a little bit more palatable for me based on what she was saying in that phrase. But yeah, I mean, this song has just, it's just a really, really great return to form. It feels like an artistic statement, you know. For, you know, MDNA just felt like a bunch of songs thrown together. Rebel Heart feels like an album. Rebel Heart feels like a statement. Rebel Heart says, hey, this is where I am, and this is where, you know, we should be. And it, you know, and that's really, really a cool thing. Now, this also has a deluxe edition and a super deluxe edition. I personally prefer the super deluxe edition, which has probably one of my top three Madonna songs. Not top three, definitely top five. And that is Beautiful Scars. It's not on the main album. Like I said, it's a bonus track that I got when I pre-ordered the deluxe version. And you know, the what's wonderful about this is like the bonus tracks for the deluxe edition, you know, are all just fantastic songs. I mean, Beautiful Scarred, Borrowed Time, Addicted, Graffiti Heart. They're all really good, but Beautiful Scars, man, that song just hits just right for me. And it's definitely one of those that I've played that song on repeat sometimes just over and over again. I just love it so much. But this album is really good. And like I said, I can just go on and on about how much I love this album. And, you know, and to me, it has some essentials on it. You know, I feel Living for Love and Ghost Town are essentials. Personal favorites, you know, Joan of Arc, Beautiful Scars, and Iconic, which features Chance the Rapper and Mike Tyson. Weird, I know. Mike Tyson on Iconic, Mike Tyson actually gives the Muhammad Ali kind of Muhammad Ali statement and says it. And you know, Chance the Rapper does a nice little verse on it. And I know Iconic is just, it's kind of a weird, cause it's like, I can't icon two letters apart. And yeah, it's kind of silly, but putting it together in the context, I really love the song. This album is just so good. And that's why I was so upset that it did not do better. You know, almost everybody I knew that had this album and heard this album enjoyed it. I you know, and a lot of longtime Madonna fans especially were just very happy about this album, but it didn't do that well. And which is sad. I mean, it's like I said, it's one of, you know, to me, one of her better albums, but it is in the US, it's her second least selling album. And you know, that's kind of sad because it's so good. It's just so good. And the fact that it didn't do better, probably influenced what we got next. And you know, and then, and I almost kind of feel bad that that it didn't end up being better, you know. But that's how it goes sometimes, you know. I can always hope for things to be better, but didn't do as well as I hoped, but Rebel Heart is definitely one of, like I said, I can just go on. It's one of my favorites of her albums. So after Rebel Heart didn't do as well as it could have, once again, Madonna took several years off of music, and it wasn't until 2019, you know, Rebel Heart came out in 2015. It wasn't until 2019 we got a new album from Madonna. And of course, you know, me being a Madonna fan, I'm like excited and hopeful about what we're going to get. And what we ended up getting was Madame X. So Madonna started previewing and kind of teasing Madame X with a series of images. And she did a little video kind of talk, you know, to kind of preview, and then kind of just building anticipation for what we would get. And then we get the first single, which is, you know, was Medellin. And it featured, it was a duet with a Colombian singer by the name of Maluma. And Maluma is kind of, he's a tenor singer, but he also kind of has a reggaeton feel to a lot of his stuff. And, you know, it's an interesting blend. I want it to work. I really want it to work, but Madonna talks about, you know, kind of going back to being 17, and at this point she's over 60, and Maluma, you know, is in his 20s. And though I don't really want to pull the age card, you can't help but do it. And I feel horrible saying it, but I'm going to leave it in, because let's just be honest. And it's not as much the fact of the age, being the issue. It's more the fact that there's just a disconnect, and it doesn't feel as natural. It feels a little bit more forced. And I do really enjoy Maluma's vocal and voice, even though I have no idea what he's saying, because he is not singing in English. but it's an interesting piece, and I really appreciate what it has, you know. It's okay. And that's the thing. It's like, it's okay. It's not bad. It's okay. But then, you know, she follows up with a song on the album called Dark Ballet. Now, Dark Ballet is really kind of a song that's hits a lot of different things, and it starts one way and then it goes into this weird take on Tchaikovsky, and it's just interesting. I like it. I don't think I love it. But it's definitely very different. I mean, you know, 'cause you think the music's going one way and all of a sudden it has a breakdown and it goes into part of the Nutcracker Suite by Tchaikovsky, and with this really vocoder, heavy vocoder vocal on top of it. And it's just weird. And it's like, I still, even though it's been several years since it came out now, I still don't know how I feel about it. And it's a nice experiment. I think that's the best way to describe it. It's a pop experiment, and you know, and I can appreciate a good pop experiment, you know, so we'll go with that. And then right after that interesting experiment, we're getting into the Tchaikovsky of it and the, you know, all that stuff. She starts the next song and she's singing it in this mumbled voice. And it doesn't make any sense why she would mumble the way she does. But then the song hits almost to the minute mark and this choir comes in and starts, you know, talking, singing about we've lost our God control. And then it becomes a disco song. And and I like it once the choir comes in. I like the disco part. I hate the beginning of it. And it's like, I don't know why you would, the mumbling, and you know, and that's just kind of one of the things. It's like she does a lot of that type of thing on this album where she, you know, takes, I don't know if it's maybe like some kind of persona or she's trying to, you know, emulate something. I don't know. It's just, the song would be better if she sang it normal instead of with this mumble thing. And I don't know. I mean, it sounds really cool when it gets to kind of to the disco part and even the choir part, you know. Probably the worst song on this album is Killers Who Are Partying. What a weird name for a song. And the song is basically her talking about disenfranchised people and how she's there with them and all that. And it comes off as so patronizing. It comes off as so, even though it's like, oh, I'm there for you, but it's really like, it feels like she's like looking down her nose at people at the same time. And then, and I know that's not how she wanted it to come across, but that's how it comes across to me. It just doesn't work. And, you know, and then, you know, and some of the other songs, you know, she still takes that weird, you know, takes a weird voice with, like Batuka, she takes a weird voice with, and stuff like that. But, you know, some of the other stuff on here is decent. It's not bad. I like I Don't Search, I Find. I think that's a good song. I enjoy I Rise, which features part of the speech of one of the Parkland shooting survivors, which is an interesting choice, but it's okay. I like Crazy. I like Come Alive. Crave's okay. You know, it's got a lot of okay. It's got a few that, hey, you know, okay, these, I can see this, but overall it's just kind of mediocre and it's just kind of disappointing. And, you know, I guess at this point, if it's going to be like every other album's good, okay, that's fine. You know, just wish you'd pick up the pace a little bit with the every other album if that's going to be the case. So, but I mean, this is her most recent album in 2019. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, from here. Now I've come to the end of Madonna's studio recordings, but there are a couple other albums I do need to highlight. But they're all live albums, which is why I kind of didn't really get into them immediately, because Madonna has released live albums for each of her last six world tours. Now, the first one was really more of a soundtrack to go along with the documentary than the world tour, and that's I'm Going to Tell You a Secret back in 2006. But then she released a live album to go with the Confessions tour in 2007, the Sticky and Sweet tour in 2010, the MDNA World Tour in 2013, the Rebel Heart tour in 2017, and then most recently in 2021, releases the Madame X live album. Now, I bring these up because there are actually some interesting items from these, and I'm just going to say that they're like I have some personal favorites from these. For example, on the Confessions tour, Madonna has a version of Erotica that sounds nothing like the album version. It's actually an early version of Erotica before what ended up on the album, and I really like that version, and that's a personal favorite. So I do go back to that one quite a bit. There's also a really kind of cool version of music on there called Music Inferno, which is a mashup of Disco Inferno and music. That's a really, really fun one. And then on the Sticky and Sweet tour, there is a version of Vogue that is really kind of cool, because it samples 4 minutes in the version of Vogue, and it's a really kind of cool mashup. And even though it's not on the CD, I wish it was, but in the concert, there's also a really awesome mashup of Rain and Here You Come Again by the Eurythmics that was in the concert. So yeah, those are some highlights from those concert albums. Don't really think there's anything in the other ones that really kind of stick out to me. So I'm not really going to kind of highlight any of those, but I did want to point out those few of those live albums. So this is going to do it for part three of this Diva Directory for Madonna. I will be doing one more that is going to focus on remixes, because remixes are a huge part of Madonna's career and legacy, and I want to do a whole episode talking about the great remixes that are out there of Madonna, and go from there. So that's going to do it for this episode, and once again, rate and subscribe, share this episode wherever you can, and until next time, much love.